When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What it is, welcome to another exciting adventure of the Three Wise Men with my dear friend and former WWE star, actor, philosopher. You would affectionately known him at one time as A-Rai. I know him as Kevin Kiley. I also know him as brother. Yes, sir. Joining us as well is the star, Trevor Murdoch. Big week for the star. Big week for the star. He called me up before the show today to give me some critiques, you know, a better way I could do the show and make sure that it fit in his schedule.
That's what stars do now, though.
Yeah. And I didn't say schedule. I said schedule because he is a star. And I will use the king's language when addressing Lord Trevor Murdoch. So
why do I agree to this every week? It's like, fuck my.
I will happily tell you because you're a star.
Oh Jesus!
And you gotta be on the mic, man. We can't not have you on the mic.
Oh man, you crack me up, brother.
Yeah, you know. And speaking of cracking up, Aaron is probably going nuts because A-Rai. I'm not sure if you're aware, but a big match was announced for Always Ready, which is June 11th pay per view. Reigning, defending, undisputed, undefeating world television champion, New York Times bestseller, your friend and mine, myself. I will be defending my world television championship, and now, and a match for basically my affection and approval for the top spot on this thing. Trevor and Aaron will be going one on one at the pay per view. So. It is going to be an awkward podcast after that. But going up to it, I'm going to milk this cow for every drop it's got. So if you have any questions, A-Rai, for the star.
I would love to be there to witness this, sir.
Yeah, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, 100%.
You're more than welcome to come. We are all professional.
I would love to join that. To catch up on what I've missed out on for a
while. Because you've been quite the recluse. So
I have. What? Yep.
So tell us, what is like outside of, because you took, when you left, when you were Future Endeavored, as everyone on this show has been, in my case, twice. Right. I've been twice Future Endeavored.
Part of the growing up process.
Yeah, you know, they always said the third one's the worst one. So that's the one that stings.
I revert back to the kicking in the scenario when it comes to being Future Endeavor.
Yeah.
That's how it feels.
It would feel so much better if they were like, hey, kid, you're fired. That would feel so much better. Because then you at least something to complain about. Like, how dare they? They give you the polite Future Endeavor. You know,
I will give Pat Kenny, our NWA talent relations guy, this credit. When he tells you bad news, it's direct and to the point, and you know that it's not any bullshit. Like, we have all got the same phrase, like, you know, creative's got nothing for you.
Right.
And who is this creative guy? Right. Who is he?
Right, that you
I want a name.
Chance to meet, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Is he on this call?
Curtain, who, yeah.
You know,
well, if they were just honest with you, you could at least accept it, right? Like, hey, listen, Vince thinks you suck this week, and he just wants to let you go. And you're like, wow, that sucks. But
you know, yeah, or you we were playing a game called Fishbowl at the office, and we pulled your name.
Right,
which is pretty much the most logical answer most times.
So, I mean, since we're going down this road, I will share my first firing. It twas a summer day in Florida. It was a little hotter than normal.
Yeah, you never really forget the weather when you get the call, dude.
No, because it's important.
I feel the same. Yep, I get it. Yep, I apologize to interrupt.
No. Because you walk outside on the cell phone.
Yes.
You go outside.
You absolutely do. You find some space by yourself.
By yourself, because
the conversation is coming.
Yep. Two things are going to happen. Yep. You're going on the road or you're going on the road. It's two things are going to happen.
Right.
Well, isn't it funny how when that number pops up, it's popped up maybe 100 times before and you never thought about it. You answered it, hey, what's going on? But that one time, you look at the phone and you go, huh, this ain't right.
When you get a call on a Wednesday, it's like, okay.
They know you know, and you know they know.
It was,
and you can remember the weather. You
know, yes.
Right. And it's the classic definition of getting fired on your day off.
Oh, it is always on your day off.
Always. They don't, like, the fans don't understand that. Every wrestler that's left that company got fired on their day off.
Yeah. And so the phone rings. I see it. Just a little backstory. The New England Patriots that Sunday had just blown the perfect season. And I'm a diehard Pats fan, and I hate the Giants. And I was screaming pass interference all day and holding. Seymour was getting held every play, but, you know, whatever. And Eli Manning beat New England, and New England was 19-1, which is basically you might as well have been 0-19 if you're gonna have the perfect season and then lose the Super Bowl. So I already wasn't in the best mood going into practice that day.
Right.
And I had a Monday practice, and we had a house show that evening. One of our shows. I shouldn't call it a house show. We had a bar show to be at FCW, and I was working my dear sweet friend Dolph Ziggler. Now, up until that point, I had been number one contender for the world championship, and usually when Dolph and I got together, it was usually I was up or the DQ or something, right? And when Steve Kern, who was the head trainer at the time at FCW and the founding father of FCW, walked up to me and Dolph and says, hey, tonight, let's put Dolph up. I said, you know, no issue. Love Dolph. And he's like, but Dolph, do me a favor. When you pin him, do the sex pin. And those of you don't know what those of you who don't know what the sex pin is when he basically sits on your chest, pulls your leg close to his bosom, and then rocks back and forth while they count three. Right. Not the most flattering way to get pinned. But you know what? It's Dolph Ziggler. So, and I love Dolph. Which leg you want up, brother?
One of the best. Yeah. 100%.
Which leg you want up? Dolph wasn't comfortable with it. He's like, nah, man, let me just put my feet on the ropes or something like that. You know, you're a big guy. And when Steve Kern even visualized the pin, he like pantomimed himself pinning me with my leg and shaking his head and like, yeah, one, two, three. Like, and I was like, wow, he's really passionate about this sex pin. So, because that's what I called it. It was, you know, I was joking around. I was literally getting the next day. So, and nobody kissed me first. They never kiss you first, right? Kate's going, oh man, I got to do some beeping tonight. But it's, thumbs up because she likes a good firing story, especially if it's mine. And so we do the match. Sex pin goes down.
Sex pin
is what I yelled out as I got hit with the, like, and I was like, oh no, sex pin. And Dolph's like, thanks, man. I was like, no problem. And then as I was, the night should have been over, the American Dream Dusty Rhodes comes up to me and goes, hey, go out there and cut a promo for me. And right. I was like, and I didn't know him very well at that point. I had a few, and he was just there as a guest. He goes, I just want to hear you talk. And I went and I cut a promo about being sex pinned. Did the best I could. You don't have much to work with. Like trying to find dignity. You don't want to come back out after a sex pin. You just.
And they seem to know. Right.
The oh, everybody knew.
Yeah,
everybody knew, but me.
No, I know. The last 2 weeks of things, you're like, Wow, this is an interesting turn, right?
Yeah, right?
But, huh. Yeah, no, I got you. Yeah.
Must be getting me ready. Oh, I get it. They're killing me off here, so I'm going up to TV. Right. I get it. You know, you go out on your shield before you go out, you know? That's how the rocket launches. And so next morning I go to practice. We do drills, and we finish with the pin drill and all that stuff. And I get home, I take a shower, I sit down. I won't watch ESPN because they're still talking about the Giants. And my ex-wife was like, "Hey, what do you want for lunch or something like that?" And I was like, "Oh, could I just get a sandwich or something?" And my phone rings, and it's the 202, and I'm like, okay, yep. It's a little weird. It's Wednesday or Tuesday. And at this time, SmackDown was on Friday and Raw was on Monday. So it's a little early to get a call for being on the road. So, and it's Ty Bailey, who I hate. His dad was like this great Miami Dolphins GM, and he was, I couldn't stand Ty Bailey. He was like an alien. You couldn't talk to him. Whenever he just was so disinterested.
He had a little bit of an alien vibe for sure.
He just didn't care about anything you had to say. So he was one of those guys, when you talk to him, he starts looking around like, how do I get out of this? You know? Yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah, good. Yeah. But he would ask you a question like, "Hey, how your day?" And then when you'd answer him, he'd be offended. So he just like, it was just no personal skills at all. I'm sure that's why his Dolphin career was short as a GM or whatever it was he was doing over there. He was a talent finder, I think, or something like that. But he's like, "Hey, got a second?" "Of course I do." You know? And I was like, "Hey, what's going on, boss?" And he was like, "Well, you know, how are things down there?" I said, "Oh, they're fine. They're good. I just had a show last night. Had a good match. Just finished practice." He's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's not what I'm hearing." And I said, "Really? Yeah. What are you hearing?" He goes, "Oh, I don't want to go into that, but I think we're going to go in a different direction, you know?" And I was like, "Yeah. Okay, new character, new name." He's like, "Oh, I don't care what you do, but... We're going to let you go. Right. We're going to let you go."
Right.
And I was like, I asked stupidly, was it a performance problem? Was it an attitude problem? Right. He's like, you pick whatever you pick. It was a lot of things, but
whatever makes you feel good, little buddy.
But we're going to let you go. And we wish you best in your future endeavors. And what we're going to do is we're going to give you your 90 days and, you know, take care and make sure that you don't come to practice and don't, you know, if you show up at the facilities or anything like that, you know, it would be considered trespass. I was like, "I got it. I'm fired. I got it. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for your time, sir." Then I had to walk back in and eat my sandwich.
Right.
And then I have to try to explain that I just got canned, which sucks, which absolutely sucks. And
explaining it to anybody as to why it happened. Because it's the entertainment business, right?
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like, you know, and I think right at times they can't even give you really an answer one way or the other. So explaining it at times is difficult, you know, when you believed in what you were doing, right?
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a hot minute.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So, A-Rai, I'm dying to know, how did your call go?
I was towards the later part of my career, I was living in Tampa, Florida, and I was, I was transitioned into a commentary position, which I really enjoy with WWE.
And not to interrupt you, but you were phenomenal, and you know we don't use that word loosely. Phenomenal.
Thank you, sir. No, right. That is our word. And thank you. I really appreciate that. And I enjoyed it. And what I really did enjoy the most, I enjoyed working for Vince, right? I always heard he had a lot of confidence in me. He liked the way I spoke. And then so there was a transitional period in my career where I became a commentator for WWE. I got to work next to Byron Saxton and Booker T on the pre-show. And I think that's right when they launched the WWE Network as well. And I was part of that, right? I was part of one of the people on the panel that they came to launch that network. So I was extremely grateful for that. However, there was a side of me, you know, I was a football player and I was an athlete before. And that's really why I became a WWE superstar, was to stay in athletics as long as I could. So there was a side of me that would kind of go back and forth with them about, hey, you know, well, I'll do some commentating, but, you know, maybe an opportunity to get back in the ring, you know, and we would have conversations like that. And towards the end of my career, they did kind of start to let me do both, which I was grateful for too, but I had to go back down to NXT to do it, which was, again, fine, you know, kind of re-earn my stripes. And in this time when I was doing that, I was living in Tampa, and I believe they had taken me off the road, but I was driving back and forth from Tampa to Orlando daily, like daily back and forth to rejoin NXT.
That's a haul.
I mean, be a part of that program. But it was about an hour and 15 minutes, but I was going back and forth every day, pretty much.
Wanted it.
Yeah, I was trying, and I was getting a little older, you know, in my athletic career, and
not known in wrestling, by the way, but continue.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, which is another how much are we ever future endeavored in wrestling? Right.
Right, yeah,
I think that's great. There's always a way back in, but yeah, I was, you know, I think I was reaching a frustrated space. No fault to anybody, right? But I was, you know, kind of reaching the end of what I thought was the end of kind of an athletic career, and I was trying to get back in. And then I did get hurt. I remember my knee. I had to have knee surgery, and then I had to have a shoulder surgery. And I was getting in my car, starting to recall the weather now.
Yep.
It was a Friday morning, and I had gotten in my car to head to Orlando from Tampa, and I pulled off on the side of the road when I got the call.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I got the 202, and I was about 15 minutes into the drive, and I said, well, you know, this might be an opportunity to save some gas money here. This is right. The call that I'm thinking that it may be. Right. So I pulled over, and it was Mark Carano, and he said, and this was you know, this was how it was left with me. It was very professional. He said, you know, Vince has just decided to go in another direction than you. And I was let go with a bunch of, you know, they at least in my case, it wasn't one where you're like the only one going. It was like, you know, we're cleaning house again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it was the same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we're cleaning house, and this is how we do it. And you know, you're part of this. These, I don't know, there's eight people or ten
cuts,
people that,
yeah,
that got let go. And you know, I believe we were all, you know, well, not all of us. I can only speak for myself, but I was kind of in the twilight of everything at that moment. You know,
were we in the same cut class?
Maybe right around that time.
Because I will say this, and
Aaron was with me, I believe.
I don't know Aaron, then you were after me. Because I would just like to say, when it comes to firing, Mark Carano is the best. If you're going to get fired by Carano, because he does put you over. Like he told me, is like you were a bottle in a rocket. You were on fire, and I don't know what happened, and now you're out of favor. But, it, you know, never say never, you know, whatever. But how were you after that? Obviously, your afternoon was free, so
yeah, right. Well, I didn't have to make the drive. That's for sure.
Hey, you know what though? Good for them. Good for them, because them some made me practice that day, and that's what I was really pissed about. I didn't need to do those drills. You could have fired. I was like, you could have got your ass up at 8 o'clock in the morning and fired me, bro.
Right.
But now my legs are on fire. Now I'm mad.
Yeah, like right. Now, you know, and Trevor, I mean, you were, I would say arguably you were in a more cutthroat time. Of getting, and you have an amazing, your hiring story in itself is amazing, A. Right? He never spent one day in developmental.
Okay. Trevor, you didn't.
Yeah.
No, never, never. I couldn't even tell you what the parking lot looked like.
Yeah. So
okay, let's not brag. I was giving you a compliment. Okay, go ahead, Star.
I was happy.
Yep.
Wow, shit. Well, no, for me, it was, you know, I had the connection with, you know, every time, you guys know when we travel, you have locals show up at shows and try to get a spot. And WWE had come in to St. Louis, and every time they came into St. Louis, they always called Harley for guys. And I had been up there, I don't know, 8 or 9 different times. And they had really, you know, they always gave me the pat on the back, the job, but never heard anything. And I said, the hell with it. I went to Japan for 6 months, went through the dojo. I get done. I come back. Harley goes, I got you a tryout with the WWE. And I knew what that was. That was catering, stand around, hopefully something happens. And I went out there to the ring and some workout clothes, and Chris Benoit was there. And I was trying to get a rub from Chris over in Japan, because that's where I was planning on putting my career. So I started doing some Japanese stretches and neck bridges and all that. And he came over and started talking to me. And after about like 10 minutes, he goes, do you have a match tonight? And I said, nope. And he said, wait right here. And he came back about 15 minutes later and said, you got a match tonight. Show him what you got. And I wrestled Rob Conway that night. They asked me to come back the next night to SmackDown, and I wrestled Rene Dupree. And after that, Johnny invited me into his little makeshift office. They get it every show.
Yep.
And offered me a job. Said, you know, do you want to work here? And I said, oh, yeah. Now, yep. Independent guy, just barely been able to make pay rent. He said, okay, we're going to send you to OVW. You need to be down there in 4 weeks. I told him I couldn't even afford to move down there. You know what I mean? I was yeah. A hot dog and a handshake guy, still just trying to make it. And he goes, will $4,000 be enough to help get you there? And I was like, I was happy. I was stoked. 2 weeks later, he calls me up and says, hey, listen, we're going to have you come in and have a tag match with this guy named Lance Cade and see what you guys look like. Okay, great. Come up, and I got the deal. They were going to have me tag with Lance 1 week, and then the next week Lance was going to tag with Kevin Thorne, because they had come up with this idea of a cowboy and a trucker. And Lance and I went out that weekend and did 2 dark matches.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on. You could have been Mordecai.
Mordecai. No, I couldn't pull that off. I could pull
neither,
off.
Neither did Thorne, but I'm just saying.
You know, well, and you guys know the whole deal with just being ready at the right time and in the right spot.
Right.
Kevin had made some bad choices, and gotten liquored up at a bar, and ended up grabbing a guy and headbutting his nose flat. And he was with the company, and that didn't go over well.
It wasn't as respected as it was, say, in the 80s, but digress.
Right.
And I'm sure this guy deserved it, but –
don't they always?
They do. So we tagged that weekend, and Johnny came up to us. He goes, hey, listen, you know, Kevin's not out. You know, Kevin's out. Kay, do you think you have a good chemistry with Trevor? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you guys are on the road next week. And 6 weeks later, I'm world tag team champion.
Nice.
It literally went that quick. And yeah. The firing, the future endeavored went just as quick.
It usually does.
I got transferred over to some, they split Lance and I up, and you guys need to go on your own. And Trevor, we're going to send you to SmackDown. And I'm like, great. You know, that gives me a new opportunity. I did one match at SmackDown. I got a call July 3rd. I found it poetic that they didn't want to call me on July 4th, Independence Day, and
right.
Fire me on
you would have your hand on explosives.
Right.
Yeah.
And I got the basic of basic calls, you know, from Johnny Ace. He goes, Trevor, we've...
Wait a minute. Stop. You got a call from the head of talent?
Yes.
Yeah. Kate, do we have a boo
That's
button?
Why he's the
Can
star,
we boo
though,
this guy?
Right? Yeah.
You have the greatest hiring job ever. You Harley Race... Christened you, Chris Benoit, get you a tryout match. You wrestled 2 of the best workers, and then your tag champs 6 weeks later, and then the head of talent calls you. You didn't even get the wow, we are in the presence of stardom. Oh, A-Rod.
I thought that's how
that's how everybody got fired. Wow, listen, your arrogance is disgusting, sir. But please continue.
If you have time. You've killed my basic ass story, is what you've done.
Oh, there's nothing basic about it. Your story is laced with gold trimmings and it's very Kardashian-esque. A story, sir. It's of the highest level.
If you do not know me, then, my friend.
No, you only get fired by the finest people and hired by the finest people.
We are starting to learn the process of how they do these things.
Yeah, you are the caviar, and we are spam. We're just a couple of spam guys, A-Rod. We're dealing with caviar here. Please continue. As the number two man to Vince McMahon called you up. Please, sir.
Well, and he gave me the creative has nothing for you.
Right.
I'm very confident that you can go back to Japan and get yourself over again, and you'll have a job and come back in a couple years and this, that, and the other. And
so you were eligible for rehire.
Well, yeah, I guess.
My gosh. Like,
I don't know. The guy who's been back twice and I've been back once doesn't know. Now, come on. Let's call a spade here.
Watch it.
I think they suggested to me get back into medical equipment sales when they fire me.
Well, and that's what, for me, at first, it was like I freaked out for like 20 minutes. And then I realized I was like, I got to go nowhere. No one's going to tell me what to do. I've got opportunities outside of wrestling again. Like, it was a very freeing moment. You know what I mean? Like, that, it opened up my eyes. Like, all right, I've been fired from the top company in the world. Let's go out and have some fun. Because ain't really nobody can do anything else to you after that.
Right.
Once you've been let go from there, like, ain't no one can hurt you after that.
No.
Right.
But let me ask you this. What was the worst job you took after life in the WWE? Like, because A-Rod apparently was selling medical devices.
Okay, we're talking, there's two. We can do wrestling at my first match or the first job.
Like a real job.
My worst job was, you know, I was good for about a year after I left WWE. I had savings. I didn't want to do nothing. Then the wife looked at me and said, hey, listen, you need to, you know, start working again. And I'm like, oh, I got to work for somebody. It was hard to find a job, a real job, because you put wrestling on your resume, you know, to regular folks.
Yep.
They you get two reactions. Either you get the fan who's like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing in the world. I get to have this guy work for me.
Right. Yep.
And that opens up a whole nother set of issues, because he's telling coworkers or bosses, I got this person working for me and they do this for me. Or you get the guy who thinks it's the stupidest thing in the world, but needs an employee, but thinks you're the biggest idiot in the world because you put on spandex and wrestled other dudes in front of people.
Right.
So it's the transition from wrestler to real life is difficult for a lot of guys, because they can't, this is all we knew for a long time. So I worked at top companies. I worked at anybody that was willing to pay me at one point.
I think too, it becomes, you know, it's such a unique business in the way where it is a dream, you know, like when you're out there. I remember like when they hired me, and cause you're telling me about when they hired you, and you know, you're all of a sudden you're the tag team champion, right? When I got a contract from WWE, I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm now going to be amongst people like Triple H, you know, Randy Orton, these people that I was watching on TV, you know, when I was a kid and then in my early 20s. So you almost can't believe it. I remember myself, I couldn't believe that it was real. I was like, you mean you want me to be one of these guys? You think I have the potential to be one of these guys? So for me, it was kind of like, you know, and then you go through the process of creating a character. I think you really do learn a lot about yourself, being on stage like that and performing. in front of people, and then they ask you to perform in front of 20,000 live people and a worldwide camera, and it gets into you. You know, it's thrilling. The energy is amazing. So it is when it's, I don't know, not taken from you, but when you lose it, there is 100% a transition period where I felt like, you know, everything just kind of slowed down.
Yeah.
You know, you're lost.
It's almost a depression. Yeah, it's very similar, like being cut from a football team and your football career is now in limbo. You know, and
it's hard to get excited about real life.
Yeah. And you realize how disconnected you are from everyday things because you are always just home to pack.
Yeah.
Pay some bills and be out. And you really didn't have to deal with relationships on a consistent level. You didn't have to be around somebody all week. Right. You know?
Right.
You know, for me, I got canned and I got a phone call from Impact like 2 days later. But, and I was able to continue wrestling and then acting. And then, you know, I took a job at Fox News and the rest is history. But during that time, I remember I got an opportunity to be a greeter at a bar in Tampa. So he would put in the headlines that I was there. And then I would greet people as they come into the club. No, it did not. I was there for about 8 minutes.
I don't blame you, bro.
I looked around and I was like, you know what? No. And then I got some weird calls, you know. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a jiffy. Speaking of weird calls, so, and this is such a great topic because I don't think anyone is more uncomfortable with hiring and firing than this paranoid individual who was slated to do the show this week, but he informed me that he had a gig. He was acting, and he didn't have time. He didn't have time for the podcast.
Another star.
And another star. And I said, well, it's no problem. I got A. Ryan Trevor. And he's like, well, then I guess it's fine. I get a frantic phone call from this individual about 10 minutes before we're going on. I have finished shooting. I'm offset. If you need me, I am available. And I was like, we don't. We're good. Are you? I said, you know what? Would you like to call in at some point, and you can be our special story tonight? So joining us now is the forever paranoid, but gainfully employed, Aaron Haddad. Aaron, are you with us?
Yes, and are you finished distorting the truth?
I believe that was pretty clear.
Ever.
No.
Does anyone not believe me? I'll just leave. Let's leave it to our peers. A-Rai and Trevor, do you believe me?
I'm a believer.
Thank you.
I'm a believer.
Now, go ahead, Aaron. Now, just so you know, the topic is getting fired.
That's the topic.
We've all shared our firing story. So I have two. I believe you have two firings as well. If you could pick your best firing story and share it with us, that would be phenomenal. All we do is, the only thing we ask is everyone told what the weather was like. For some reason, you always remember the weather the day you were fired. Is that accurate with you?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Much like your description of me over the last 5 minutes, nothing could be further from the truth.
Okay.
And you know what? Of course, A. Ryan and Trevor are going to agree with you because this is your show. However, have known you.
We are truthful men.
Paranoia is not something that I embrace anymore. Now, before, I'm just gonna
say that with
I'm
a straight face.
Come real with it.
Oh, get real. Oh, yeah, let's get real. Okay?
So, I'm not sure how kind of deep you guys get into it. First of all, Trevor, hello, how are you? Hey, A-Rai, what the hell's going on,
sir? Great to hear your voice.
You too, my friend. But the WWE, they want you paranoid, right? And since I was a kid, when I broke in at like 16, I was kind of under the WWE's, like I was on their radar, right? At Kowalski's, like, you know, there'd be agents that would always come and scout and everything. And then at 20 years old, I get signed. So I was very much like a product of their system. And I use the term indoctrination, right? To where like you have Vince at the top of the food chain, he's the end all be all, and you go from there. Now, the problem is, you know, they went public and, you know, the structure changes according to whatever one man wants. and it trickles down from the top. So there's definitely, and I think we can all agree with this, that they want us a little bit job scared, right?
Right.
I'm on the fence.
Right. I mean,
it depends who you are.
Oh, it depends who you are. Yes. But I'm talking about like the level we were all at, like we didn't have any ties. You know, we didn't have any family in the business. Like we just kind of came up, we got scouted, we got there, and we were all about like, you know, just, hey, you work as hard as you can and just try to come up the right way. Right.
Grab the brass ring. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the brass ring doesn't exist because, you know, my first firing, look, I was young. And essentially what happened was I was kind of Tom Pritchard's protege. And when Tom Pritchard got let go from the company, there was some, you know, political maneuvering that was going on. And there was a bunch of new guys that got into developmental. I got put on the back burner. Thanks to Dusty Rhodes, I had a brief run in a tag team with a dude that I didn't really know that well and kind of just parted ways. But that firing, I will never forget it because it was in Buffalo, New York, and John Laurinaitis.
What the hell?
See, boys,
I told you. There are levels.
There are levels to this. Ari, you are correct.
Aaron, what do you mean? Proven.
Yes.
Well, okay.
Aaron, we got a couple of stars on here, Kevin. Well, we got a couple of stars.
Tyrus and I didn't get let go by John Laurinaitis, and we're kind of offended by it.
Yeah, we're offended.
Really? Really?
Yeah, John's getting a text from me. He's getting a text from me tonight.
Who did you get let go by?
I was let go by Mark Carano. And the first time, the first time, I think I have the worst ever. Ty Bailey.
Yes, I have the worst.
Hey, when your dad, like...
I don't have a dad.
Thanks
for reading my book.
Biologically, you do, and I'm... Okay, so when Ty Bailey's dad...
The GM for the Dolphins, yes. His successful father,
like,
yes.
GM for the Dolphins, and you're not working for the Dolphins, there is a major, major issue going on there.
Yeah, and that guy fired me.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I do have a degree of sympathy towards that, and I'm very sorry, Terrace.
I would think anyone
that had
would.
To happen. And, you know, so, yeah, oh, God, I'm not going to say this on the air about him, but
I already did.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. So we covered that.
Moron.
Yes. But with me, Johnny, he pulled me aside and he fired me face to face. He's like, I'm going to release you. You know, you've just been in the system too long. You need to just kind of go and find yourself. So I did that, went to Puerto Rico for a year and a half. That was a whole nother set of adventures that I won't get into. Came back to WWE and then came up as Sandow. And that was, again, thanks to Dusty Rhodes. And, you know, there was another guy by the name of Tenzai who they brought Tenzai up on Raw and they brought me up on SmackDown, invested all this money in Tenzai, and they pretty much just put me in the pre-tape room and said, okay, talk for a minute. And that those were my vignettes as opposed to all the cool things.
Right.
But obviously I ended up working out a little bit better. And this is nothing against Matt. I think it was just kind of the character and stuff that they gave him. But
it wasn't even that. It came down to wins and losses. With a guy like Tenzai, he has to lay waste to everyone.
100%.
He's got to beat a Mark Henry. He's got to beat a Big Show. He's got to beat a Brodus Clay. He's got to beat, you know, John Cena's. He's got to win by DQ a couple times. You build him.
Yeah.
You know, you build him. Right. And that's because there is, and I'm sensitive because he was my tag partner, and he was not a fan of tagging with me. He hated it. At least looking back on it now from things I've heard, but I love tagging with him because I thought he was one of the greatest guys to put on a pair of boots because he could work any situation any way. So,
and let's be honest, you were wrestling me when you were tagging with him a lot. So that's going to elevate any situation. And it just
I 100% elevated you.
Well, that's why you got let go by John Laurinaitis.
Yeah.
Is that the radio guy. Version of the pat on the back there that Aaron just gave?
That was a stab in the back. Disguise.
Do you remember Russia when it was you and Tenzai versus me and Cody in Russia, and like we did our shtick and no one made a sound,
right?
And then like you just looked at the crowd and then they exploded. Remember that? How they were just such a different crowd.
Yeah, because I was over.
Yes, but because yes, because you're in there with me, and that's it's proximity.
Ah, okay.
No,
this is the second time.
All truth aside, the second time I was let go, it was when I had kind of like, and I don't want to say this now, like, well, we
why
we
not? You said everything else.
We'll be serious here for a second.
Shameless
the degree plug. Of success I had with Sandow, I don't know why everything was kind of taken away from me when I was at the Apex, when I was told, like, you're going to be the next world champion, like, you're Mr. Right. Money in the Bank. And I was told, like, the certain plan that they had. Well, okay, things happen. I adjusted, but then it was like, you know, like, we all have been, like, kind of lost in that creative limbo. And yep. then I had done the thing with The Miz. It became extremely popular, had about a like 9 or 10 month run with that. And then there was just nothing after it. And I couldn't get any answers from them. And so I remember this was in Dallas, Texas. I talked to Carano. I was like, Mark, I need some answers or I don't want to work here because I'm just not happy. And he goes, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. We have this and that. And then about 2 weeks later, they fired me with like five other people. And the call came from Carano the second time.
So you fell from grace. Yes, you fell from grace.
Oh, yeah. Fell from grace, but
there's only one star on this show, and that's Trevor Murdoch.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, because Trevor was hired and fired by John Laurinaitis, and not only that, he was eligible for rehire. He was eligible for rehire.
Trevor in the corner all by myself, not bothering nobody, and you're just poking at the bear. That's all this is.
You know what? But full disclosure, I hope it always ready. You whoop Aaron's ass all over the arena for the fountain of misinformation that spewed forth from his filthy mouth about, well, you were next to me. So I hope that before you go out, I'm going to make you watch as many Japanese matches as I possibly can. And then I'm going to slap you in the face and go get him, kid. And just what happens after that. So
we all know I don't do the Japanese style of wrestling. We all know that.
Yeah, I know. We know. But Trevor does.
Trevor, this is true. Trevor beat all of us because we all had that like developmental thing to where, you know,
he went straight. He was the phenom. He went straight to the bigs.
Yeah.
No minor
like,
leagues.
Farm system. Yeah. Like the farm system to where like if it's baseball, right, you're going to play in the minors and then you get called up. Like Trevor went from just, I guess, playing like just a.
He's our LeBron James. He's our LeBron James. No college.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
From high school to the league. He's our star.
He really is.
He's our star.
Trevor, yep. You didn't choose. You were chosen, brother.
Yep.
That's it. Right now, that's it. Chosen
cool
star.
All this sounds, guys. You guys, at the least, though, looking back on it.
Who's the former NWA World Heavyweight Champion? I'm not. A-Rod?
No, you're
Aaron?
The current NWA World Television Champion. You remind me.
Yeah, undisputed, undefeated, reigning, defending, most popular wrestler in the world right now. Yes, I understand it. New York Times bestseller. I get all that, but it's not about me right now. It's not about me. What it is about is the fact that you're the only guy to hold a world title because Sandow, he didn't get it. He came up short against Nick Aldis. A-Rod just hasn't competed yet. He's a non-playing coach's decision right now.
We need to get that. Yeah.
Didn't play coach's decision.
He's a free agent right now.
Yeah.
I'm on my way, hopefully.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So, I guess what we've learned today is that Trevor is a bona fide star, whether he's fired or hired. Only he is the caviar, and we are just salmon. With the skin
please
on.
Stop.
And Aaron stop. Was oh. caviar, but he f***ed it up, and he ended up with us. I think that's the moral of this story. I think that's exactly what happened here. So, you know, I guess, Trevor, your new hashtag is let him eat cake.
Oh, we'll see if we can get something I've done viral. That would be great.
You know, I think, though, your next pair of trunks needs to have a lone star on the back. I think you just need to have a nice silver star. I think because a guy who's had the same name his entire career, again, that's a caviar thing.
Right.
No, that's a privilege.
I ordain, we'll take it to a vote. I ordain Trevor the Star Murdoch. I feel that's it.
I will never refer
to you to anything else. And you know that when I get on the mic at the NWA, no one's going to stop me anyways. So
it will happen.
You can't stop
it. Let's take it to the fans.
Oh, I will go on social media as soon as this episode drops and we'll put it to a vote. Let's put it to a vote. But as far as this group's concerned, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Well, there you go.
That's it.
Yeah, well, Trevor Horse can't make t-shirts. Trevor Starr, we can sell them. We can sell them. And unfortunately, Harley just rolled over somewhere. This was not his plan for you. This was not his plan.
No, how cool was that at the Chase? Like, how awesome
was
that?
Yeah, let's not forget.
Man.
You.
So great.
It was, yeah, as you know, as all wrestlers do, they wait, they look for their moment, right? That one moment in their career where they're like, yeah, the stars aligned correctly. Everything went right. Like, this was an amazing moment. After 22 years, that night at the Chase, I got that. Yeah. My family and friends were there. My coworkers supported me. You know what I mean? You guys were
I have
all there
the greatest picture of you after that night, and I will post it. Actually, I'm going to submit it to Kate to see if we can get it on the cover of this episode. You are sitting in your trunks. It's black and white, and you have a beer in your hand. And I was like, that's the champ. That's the guy right there. That's the star. A star was born that night. So, you know, whereas I think Aaron, I don't know if, and in my opinion, I don't know if Aaron's had his moment yet. And he's been at a high level for a long time, but I don't know if he's yet to have his career defining moment. I think that's yet to be seen. I think it's coming.
Thank you.
Same thing with Kevin. Kevin has a lot of gas in the tank, and he's just been in the garage. You know, he's kind of like that. He's that stallion, that thoroughbred that could have won the Kentucky Derby, and then, you know, something happened, and he's been in the stall, and he's got a little bit of that barn fright. We're trying to bring him out. We're trying to bring him out. You know, we're just pulling the, just trying to get his head out. You know, Trevor, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I know.
You know, exactly. We're just trying to coax him out. You know, we tried apples. We tried sugar cubes.
And God bless you for that, Tyrus. Yeah.
Give us one show. Give us one show.
Just come out the barn, Alex. It's okay. Just come. No one's going to hurt you. No one's going to hurt you. Just come on, buddy. Amen. It's okay.
Amen.
Yeah.
May I say this?
Just please, Aaron.
In terms of defining moments, I always like to look at myself. I am a moment. Anytime I appear, it is a moment in and of itself. And because, again, character-wise, I am very amorphous. I always am reinventing myself. And quite frankly, you're taking about the same name, which is kind of a star power. And you're absolutely right. But to some of us, you know, when you have so much talent, no one name or personality, it's just not enough to contain it.
Well, I have a new one for you. You guys want to hear? We should just, you know, sorry, Lex Luger, but we have the narcissist. We have the narcissist.
I am a teller of truth. I am a teller of truth. That's all.
I will stand up for Aaron on this. You are the definition of go out and get yourself over. In a serious way.
There is nothing he won't do. Nothing.
You are the definition.
Short of a bearskin rug, there is nothing that Aaron won't do.
You know, again, at the end of the day, hey, we're all trying to make it, and
fearless. Sorry.
He is fearless.
I'm talking about me.
I will give him that. Oh, I'm talking about Aaron. Some of the you've done, Aaron, you know. Oh, come on, fellas. Yep. You know as well as I do.
Oh, yeah.
I had the balls to do some of the stuff that Aaron did and went out there and got over. I'm not trying to just shine him up, but he deserves that.
He was literally a mimic, and they loved him for it. So,
well, I just watched a clip of you taking a Miz taking a suplex and you suplexing yourself in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, only someone desperate for attention would do self harm.
Right.
You know, he wants it more than I do. I only go so far. I draw the line at self harm.
I'll get with that.
You know, 100%. we are all eggs. We are all eggs on the plate. Aaron's the bacon. He goes all in. Yeah. He goes all in. We give it our all, but we can all walk away from it. Aaron's the bacon. He's leaving it all out there. Nothing. He can't walk home. Pigs. When a pig gives bacon, he ain't going home. A chicken can lay an egg and go home. So, all right. Well, we have phenomenal. So what have we learned, fellas?
We have learned that there are levels and degrees for being let go in sports entertainment.
Yes.
You know, Tyrus, you and I, we shared the lower one, I guess.
I think I have the worst. I think I have the worst. I got fired by a guy who got fired by his dad. So I think I had the worst. And we learned that there is nothing Aaron won't do for a pop or a boo. And we also learned that Trevor is a bona fide star. He is the star.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And doesn't get the credit for being like as good in the ring as he is. Because the first time I wrestled him, I was like, whoa, okay, this is cool. It was actually what kind of brought me back because, you know, with NWA, it was kind of choppy. But then when you're in there with someone the caliber of Trevor, completely, it's like, this is how you do this. So kudos to him.
All right. Well,
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that, Star. For more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. This has been the great Kevin Kiley, the Star Trevor Murdoch, and the forever interrupter Aaron Haddad. And I'm Tyrus. Enough said.
It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.